Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. And you can see us live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Just search 95.7 The Game and make sure to subscribe.
Let's freaking go! This is the summit! Man, you should be here. This particular summit.
We need to get this man a t-shirt.
Talk about turnovers. My God, catch the rock. For crying out loud. This summit is already leading the charge from all summits in terms of people throwing things at each other. This is phenomenal.
We need to get the boss a t-shirt cannon.
That's
what we need.
We've got our own little mini, like, Warriors hype crew firing stuff at them. I'm doing it. I'm throwing little Warrior basketballs at people. I put a hat on a baby earlier about 10 minutes ago.
Man.
Right? Shirts are getting thrown. Y'all need to be here. This is good. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill for the 2025-26 Warriors Season Summit.
Bring your baby, for crying out loud.
Bring your baby.
My baby's on the way.
I know your baby's on the way, which is going to be fantastic.
Although she tells me now she's not a baby anymore.
Well, that's true.
She's three.
That's true.
There you go.
Well, if your baby can get up and run away, she ain't a baby.
Fair enough.
And your baby can run away.
And we got babies here. We got toddlers. We got adults acting like toddlers.
Yes.
We got it all here.
The age range is large, and we're having a ton of fun with it. So come on out here and join us. It's the Warriors Summit. Hope you enjoyed listening to Steve Kerr there for about a half hour or so. Indeed, our special guest is about 10 minutes away. He's tall, so that's about to happen. We still need to fade the Dibbers today.
Yeah. Yep, the pick is in.
The Broncos and the Raiders. The Broncos are a big old fancy favorite.
Yep.
So we'll do that at the end of the hour. And then we're 55 minutes away from the rest of the crew sitting up here with us. Steiny, Goo, Shasky, Spadoni. I hope all four of you are listening on your way in. We want you to drive safe, and we can't wait to see you. So we love these days. We're having fun already, and we are just getting started. Now, one of the things we might talk out here as a group, I kind of want to bring to the fold now, and it's this. We're only 9 games in, but for a summit, that's kind of fun for us because we tend to do these either before the season starts or after it's already over. Now we're kind of mid-season. I know we're not mid-season, but we've got something to react to. So based on these first 9 games, what's something you really like that you see and then something that really concerns you so far?
What I like that I've seen is that at their best, they can be the best. And when they have everybody healthy and everybody's humming and you've got depth, and if it's Kuminga as your fourth best player, and whether or not it's Pods or Will Richard or GP2 or whoever your bench guys are, Buddy Hield and whatnot, when you are at your best, you can be the best. That's what makes me feel really good about this year. What makes me feel a little bit hesitant or concerned is that I don't think that you're going to be at your best very often. Whether or not you're tired, and Steve Kerr said it, going out of that road trip, you know, boy, they're tired. You've played seven games, and they were tired. And then you had a game last night where Steph couldn't play, illness, Jimmy bad back, Draymond, a rib. One of my various ribs apparently is hurt. And so when you don't have your best, I think that you're a lottery team. So for me, at your best, yeah, you're amazing. At your not your best, I'm concerned.
Can we play with the schedule thing a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, the audience that's here, I'd love to throw this out to you. Do you guys, this is a yes or no question, do you buy the idea that to start the season, the schedule has been disadvantageous for the Warriors? Who says yes?
Yes.
Round of applause, yes. All right. And who says that's a whiny excuse? Dan Dibley.
I just was trying to portray that for the audience.
That's fascinating, and I get that these are Warrior faithful. I fully understand that. But typically, when we have that conversation 9 games into a season, I tend to hear, at least put it this way, that was proof alone right there that life and social media are not the same. Because if I had put that on Twitter, you know exactly what would happen. All the responses would be like, are you kidding me? 9 games in, and you want to pay me between $25 and $50 million? I think I could take a flight to Milwaukee and make it home okay. But I keep hearing, like in these situations, I like to lean on the people who have actually lived this. And Steve Kerr is one of them. And cousin Nick Friedell was on with the Morning Guys today and was talking about this, and he said in all of his years covering the league that he thinks this is about as tough as he's ever seen it for a team to start a season. I buy what Steve says too, which is that every team gets their bad spot on a schedule.
Right.
Maybe the Warriors is just right out of the gate. But if we're going to buy that collectively, well, then we need to kind of run that through our concern level at 5-4, don't we?
We do, but I want everybody in here, and if you can hear my voice, I want you to go ahead and mark it down, because starting on January 2nd, they have 11 games. All 11 are in California. 10 are at home. So bring that same energy about, so in that 11-game stretch, if they go 5-6, I don't want to hear any of you talking about, well, you know, they were so taxed early. The schedule giveth and the schedule taketh away.
No, that's fair.
And in January,
yeah, that's
you've
fair.
Got 3 weeks where you don't have to leave the state. So suffer now, fatten up later, and when we get to that spot, I don't want to hear about how tired you are or about the schedule. That's all I'm saying,
and
Mark.
I don't think you will.
I bet you we will.
Why? Why would you?
Because, oh boy, the gauntlet of, Atlanta and Portland, those two teams.
No one's going to say that.
I mean, the back-to-backs you had to play early, they really took a lot out of this older team.
Well, look.
I just want to make sure everyone brings the same energy then as they do now. That's all I'm saying.
It's completely fair. I don't think anybody is going to say that. Now, what we don't know is when we get to January, who's healthy? What does the team look like? That's why I never love looking ahead. You know, we did this with the Niners all year. Oh, let's play the schedule game. They've got an easy schedule. It's like, all right, well, what if I had told you preseason when you did the schedule game that 9 games in, Brock Purdy will have played 2 of them, Ricky Pearsall will have played 4 of them, George Kittle will have only played 4 of them, Fred Warner will only have played 4 of them, Nick Bosa will only play 3 of them. If I had told you that, then you would have been like, I don't even know if they're going to win a game.
Well, even beyond that, like, for the schedule purposes, like, Carolina's got a winning record, and Chicago is threatening a winning record. So the schedule part of it, Jacksonville's better than we thought. Chicago's better. Carolina's better. So the schedule part of it, yes. I just think about the early schedule, and it's brutal. There's no way to deny it. A lot of road games, a lot of back-to-backs, and that's not great. It's unfortunate. But you do get to a spot in January where you should be able to fatten up on. And if you want to look at the teams they play, you don't play a lot of great teams, and you have all of them at home. So suffer now and thrive later. That's all I'm saying.
No, I think that's fair. And I think, though, it also should kind of run through our mind if midway through November it's a 500 team or something like that. Like, don't panic. I'm not saying that what happened in Milwaukee and Indiana last week is okay. It's not. You can't do that a lot. You did it there. It's a bummer. You move on. You try to recover later, steal a couple that you weren't supposed to get. But I don't think November is panic month for this team. Here's how I'd answer it real quick, because we're getting close to bringing our special guest up. But the number one thing I would say, I wanted to use the word depth. What do I like so far? I wanted to use the word depth, and I do like that, but I think it's kind of a boring answer. Let's just talk about it. I like Jonathan Kuminga. And I have freely admitted openly over and over that I did not think, certainly this early, we would see someone who really just said, okay, I adopt how you want me to play, and I'm going to do it. And we're seeing that. And there are still mistakes. There are still tightening of the screws needed. But he is threatening to really become that young, bouncy third option that this team clearly needs. And if those screws do get tightened, damn, watch out in the second half of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And health assumed, as always with any team, but especially this team, I believe, where, you know, right now you've got 12 of your first 17 on the road, and it's a bit of a gauntlet, and now you've got the chef who's got the flu. So, you know, you've got a situation where, you know, you're in a real tight spot with the health and welfare of Steph Curry. Jimmy's got the back and all the rest of it, so really, the first 17, survive it. If you're 8-9, 9-8, whatever you are, that's fine. You know the schedule will get easier in the second half.
And the thing I would say that concerns me is defense, because I think that'll get better, but you do still see a lot of the other players, the top players on the other team, kind of going off and having a little bit too easy of a run to the rim. But more on that idea of defense in just a moment. We're talking out Warrior Basketball on 95.7 The Game, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Speaking of things you can count on.
Yeah.
And speaking of defense, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Adonald Foyle! Yeah. Hey!
Hey!
Adonald Foyle!
Thank you for being here, Adonald Foyle.
I couldn't have you guys come into my neighborhood and I don't show up, you know?
Look at you!
I didn't know you were out here.
Don't tell nobody.
What's your address, Adonald?
I'm caught off guard because I just saw you on TV on Check Please Bay Area, which I don't know if you guys know that. It's a KQED show where three people go to restaurants, and it was Festus Azili, it was Trace Jackson Davis, and Adonald Foyle. So I got goosebumps. I'm by an actual restaurateur here.
There you go. You know, I mean, food is like one of the most important things, I think, besides, you know, playing basketball at the NBA level. Because I remember, you know, JJ and I, my last few years in the league, we almost went to every restaurant in every city. So food is a constant part of what we do, and especially having late night options after a game.
Yeah, exactly right. I think they agree with you here at Jack's Restaurant and Bar. The food's good, right? We're all doing good. No, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome to have you here. We do want to talk a little Warrior Basketball. 9 games in. What do you see? What do you think?
Well, I think for me, we know that this team, the way it's built, we want to see what the Warriors is going to be 3-4 months from now. We know we have the pedigree, we have the talent, we have an aging cohort that needs time. So to me, the game plan is a very simple game plan. How do we endure until the end of the season and ensure that, you know, the guys that we have play as minimum amount of minutes as possible so that they can be there for the end? Which means that for me right now, what's happening with Kuminga and the younger guys, that's the most important thing that you can ask for, is for an opportunity for them to play significant minutes, make as much mistake as they need to make now, and really get that. Just take a player like I think Kuminga. When you think about a player who developed the game very late, the last thing that comes, as somebody who has done the same thing, you know, starting the game at 15, the last thing that comes for a player like that is the tactical ability, the ability to assess, to dunk shift, to go from fifth back down to three, going back up to, you know, to three, to four. That kind of thing takes a little bit longer. So you now seeing him understanding that, you now seeing him instead of going to A to B, he may downshift, he may go to a little bit zigzag. That's the kind of thing that time takes. And the more time he gets on the floor, the better he's going to be down the stretch.
Is it even harder for Jonathan on a night like last night, where now you have to kind of be in fifth gear the whole time because now you're not the only guy, but you're kind of the guy? Is that a tougher adjustment for him without Steph and Jimmy to suddenly get back into that mode?
It will be, but I think part of the maturity of Jonathan Kuminga is the understanding that you don't have to be that option. So what I want him to get into the habit of thinking is that the game is a bit more easier than you think it is. And the older you get, the more you understand that simplicity. So a layup, you take the layup 100 times if it's available. You don't take another shot just because they let you take it. You enforce your will on the other side. That's a learned kind of response, right? Veterans do that better because they understand that when you have somebody in a grind, you keep the, you know, you keep your foot and the gas.
You know, you hear Steve Kerr still talking about Jonathan's decision making.
Right.
He's come back this year. It's clearly better.
Right.
Like, he's clearly finally picking up what Jimmy Butler's talking about, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr. It still might need some tightening of the screws, especially when you see a game like last night where he's in more of a lead role. But you just referenced kind of your history and picking the game up late. Like, what is the right way to look at his career arc? Because he's not a rookie, but right. He's still such a kid at the same time.
So if you think about Steph Curry, right, Steph has been learning basketball from probably before he was born.
Right.
so by the time that he's five, you have the skill acquisition and all of the different and the mindset, right, that's done. So most guys, tactically, they start developing that skill around college, right? When you're Jonathan, when you're me, you study at 15. I was learning all the way through college. So now you're in the NBA, and these guys are really good. So you have one speed and you want to go 100 miles an hour. The problem is going 100 miles an hour, you're not as effective. You have to be able to go 50, then get to 75, and then get to 100 on your own terms when you think. But that takes a certain amount of patience, a certain amount of maturity. And that's the last thing for a guy developing his game with a mindset. That's the last thing that comes into play.
And beyond the mindset of Jonathan Kuminga, and Donald Foyle is here with Willard and Dibbs 95-70
yes,
game. I'm thinking about the schedule, and I
right.
mentioned to Mark, like, the early schedule, a lot of road, a lot of back-to-back, a lot of difficulty. As a veteran, how much are you able to just kind of bide your time and understand that you'll be able to fatten up maybe a little bit later in the year?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think Steve has been very good at, and we have a history, which is to take older players and play them with being judicious and really have them there, right? But you want the young guys to be on fire. You want them to go out. You don't mind losing a game. What you want is to see improvement from game to game. You want to see improvement in terms of rebounding, in terms of defense, in terms of how you protect the paint, diving for loose ball, you know, deflections. What you want to see is not necessarily the ball is going to fall into the basket. We know that that's going to come with time. They're going to shoot better. But what we want to see is the effort. And I think defense, when we talk about defense, it's like that's all effort. What it requires is you have to sell out and display. You need to close out to the three-point line knowing that the guy may drive, and then the other guy have to help. That's when you say, you know, strength in numbers. What you're saying is that we all have to be on the same page, and the more you're on the same page, the easier the game tend to be, and that takes a little longer for younger guys.
Donald Foyle with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. We're at the Warriors Summit, and everybody here at Jack's Restaurant and Bar, I want you to know this. You know what you're looking at right here? This is a man who, let me count them up.
Oh.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 times in his career, he played more than 75 games in the NBA season. Right?
Load management.
Load management.
Like, what a thought, right?
I mean,
So,
do you need some water, Donald?
Sip of coffee, please.
Something, man.
So,
woo.
We know we're not going to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Mm.
But do you, as someone who played in the other NBA, do you kind of buy what Steve Kerr's been saying lately, that it's like floor coverage is different, pace is different? It is acceptable that these guys need to sit out sometimes for no reason.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that one of the things that we don't do a very good job as athletes, we lie, right? We don't tell.
Non-athletes right. do that too, Donald.
We just don't tell people our digit. I remember one time, like, I was playing in a game, and it was against Don Nelson, and they find out that, you know, they put, like, my fingers were broken. The both of them were tied together like this. And Don Nelson sent his players into the game, and he basically tell them to just squeeze that finger all night. By the time I got out of the game, my finger was this big. I could not play or catch the ball. The point that I'm making is that if you go to an NBA season, it is impossible to find a player by February that is not hurt. You just don't know the many injuries they have because we lie about it. We don't tell you because when we tell you, you're going to try to, like, strategize against it. So we don't have that insight. The point I'm making is we do know the older a player gets, the longer you play this game, it's just diminishing returns. So the question becomes, how do you preserve your player the best you can and still being respectful for the game? Because when somebody, you know, pays money to go to a game, they should be able to see the player they go there to see. Under some extraordinary circumstances, we should take it really seriously that most people don't get to go to a game every day. So when they do get to go to a game, they should see the most high caliber game. But I think we could do a job and then say, look, yes, we can worry about Steph Curry. We can worry about the 14 guys, but we have to do a mix. And what we could do is to have more transparency so people know what's happening ahead of time.
Yeah, and for you, when you played, load management was just guarding Shaquille O'Neal, right?
Exactly. I mean, literally, it's like going around and be like, I can't walk, my knees hurt, my back hurt, but you have a back-to-back, so get to work.
Yeah, back-to-back.
And the back-to-back involved... Right. Big country, Patrick Ewing, Kim Olajuwon.
Shaq. I mean, right. The only thing is you probably didn't have to guard 1 through 5, but you're guarding some of these, like, all-time centers. So I wonder if there's a solution, though, O'Donnell. Like, Steve Kerr has come out and said, you know, 72 games would be the sweet spot, but they're not going to cut games. So do teams have no choice but to do it the way they're doing it?
I think that the choice is, and I've had this conversation, I have been in a high part of the union as the first vice president of the union, and I have approached players. There's just too many games in the season, and the question becomes, like, everybody agreed, management, players, everybody agreed there's too many games. Nobody wants to give up any money or any games.
Right.
So you simply can't have it both ways. If we agree that there are too many games, what we have to do is to find a solution, and it will take the players and the owners sitting down and really thinking about what is best for the game, the best quality of the game. You and I could agree that back-to-back games should be limited because they're terrible, right? Like, by any metric, when you look at a back-to-back game, it's not as good as the first game, right? So we should try to limit that as a sport. So we have to look at, could we condense the season? Could we extend it? So those are the kind of conversation, but it's not going to happen until people are willing to say, look, for the betterment of the game, we have to make decision that makes our game more interesting than in a position where we have to say, okay, we need to play games early in order to get more people interested so that we'll get them more interesting at the end, right? So I think, like, the what's the number? I don't know what that number is, but I think that there's a conversation that needs to be had.
It would be as if, it would be like NFL players playing a game 4 days after they had just played a game.
They would never do that.
You would never play a football game on a Thursday night, would you, O'Donnell?
The pick is in, by the way.
You would never do that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, hey, I think we would all love to hear from you. And now, by the way, you look great. Happy 50th birthday
earlier this year.
O'Donnell Foyle.
Don't tell nobody.
No, I won't tell anyone other than our audience. But just so, while we're talking about age, how realistic do you think this is? What the Warriors are trying to do with a core at this age?
Man, I think that this is, like, in sports, it's worth it, right? It's realistic, be damned, right? So the thing about sports, the thing about Steph Curry, the thing about, you know, what we love about our game is that we go in with the expectation, win or lose, we want to put on a hell of a show. And if you ask Steph Curry in the next 2 years, you know, what he wants to do, the thing he would tell you is, like, it's not like he wants to play in the playoff or play in the finals. Of course he does. But what he would tell you is that I want a chance to shock the world, right? Every player at every caliber, that's what you want. I want to be healthy and give me a chance and let me see what I can do. Ask that of LeBron. Ask that of Steph. Ask that of any great player. To me, it's like that is the right. The next 2 years, they have 2 years to see what they can do. And boy, it's going to be bumpy. It's going to be crazy. But I want to see every second of it. I don't care what you get, because that's, at the end of the day, what sports is about, is the ride.
Thank you so much for taking
Foyle.
A ride over here. Donald Foyle.
Man.
What a treat to get to talk to you, man. Thank you so much for doing it. Thank you so much for doing it. Donald Foyle right here at the Summit at Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. We are 30 minutes away from the rest of the crew joining us up here, but not done yet. Much more on the Warriors and the pick. The pick from Dan Dibley coming off of a 1-3 week?
2-2.
Two and two. You're right.
Thank you.
Two and two. All right, but a fresh week starts tonight. Broncos, Raiders, the pick is around the corner. The Summit continues. All the guys will be up here shortly. From Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill, this is Willard and Dibs. No, the crowd is not thinning out. Half of them are just out there taking pictures with Adonal Foyle.
Yeah.
They'll be back.
Adonal will call you out if you try to go tiptoes on him, which I don't even know why I did, because he's 6'10", I'm 5'8". Tiptoes aren't going to make a heck of a difference.
Dude, you stymied that one.
I tried.
You stymied it. I can't believe it.
And for no good reason. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to close that gap, you know?
No, and you didn't. And you didn't.
No, but I learned something about Adonal Foyle.
What'd you learn?
He's a grandpa daddy.
Yes, he is.
He's a grandpa daddy.
Yes, although you should have seen his reaction. He is 50. He has two kids under the age of two. And I said, you should see that guy right over there who at 57 has someone who's three.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, God.
Yeah. I mean,
who would do that?
Well, and he and I were having a bit of a moment about, like, having kids when you're over 50 and things like, I don't know, hide and seek and daddy chase me and things like that.
Seriously.
Like, yeah, hide and seek, you're going to have to count to about 80, and I'm going to have to go get the, you know, the lube for the knees. I'm going to have to stretch and get, like, the yoga mat out. Come on, hide and seek.
It's impressive. All right, we are getting close to bringing the whole gang up here, in fact, we've been told that some of them are already here, all of them are on their way, and at least most of them will actually be here by 4. We'll let you all take it from there. More on that in a second. Exactly. But real quick, it is time for Triples for Autism, where we're watching our friends at Petinelli help make money for the fight against autism, which is awesome. But we're also seeing our own prediction kind of come true. More on that in just a second. This is all brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Again, the rules are there's a donation every time the Warriors hit at least 10 threes in a game. We're going out on a limb. We don't think that's going to not happen at all this year. 82 times in a row. That's my prediction. And last night, the Warriors, 17 three-pointers. Another donation from Petinelli to the Autism Society, San Francisco. Moses Moody had, count them up, 6. Will Richard had 5. They got the donation by themselves. Pods and Kaminga, a couple apiece. Buddy, GP2 each chipped in with 1. It was GP2's first of the year. The 9th donation of the season for Triples for Autism. If you would like to donate and help out the cause against autism yourself, you can get involved at sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Petinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PetinelliFP.org. Come. All right, the pick is coming up in just about 15 minutes. The guys will be along here in about 20 minutes. I thought it was great to listen to Adonal Foyle talk about Jonathan Kuminga, especially because he can really relate to the idea of picking up the game a little bit later
and then you're coming from faraway lands and having to figure things out a little bit on the fly. And I think the fan base certainly understands that the learning curve for Jonathan was going to be different, but so good to see that it is at least at a certain point on its journey that you, quite frankly, I don't want to just say wanted to see, the Warriors needed to see it. They needed to see it before January, and it's not a done deal yet, but they've seen, I think, what the progress that they need to see through nine games.
I agree, and I do think that last night was a little bit of an odd one for JK, because he goes from, all right, Jonathan, you got your contract, it's you and it's Jimmy, it's Draymond and Steph, and here's your role. Okay, those guys are all out, so now we kind of need you to play a different role, a little bit more like you did last year, and so I don't think it's as easy for anybody to just flip that switch and now all of a sudden go out there, be aggressive, be efficient, and be great. He was aggressive. He wasn't totally efficient, and he wasn't great. He was good. I mean, he was fine. I don't think that you can look at him and say, all right, eight games of, yeah, you're playing your role, and now, okay, go out there and shoot 17 times and go cook. I think that's hard for anybody.
I completely. And again, you remember what I told you before the game started. I said, I'm pretty sure Jonathan's going to get somewhere around 25, 30 points. He got 24, but I was as excited to see, will you let that take your energy away from the other side of the floor and now go back to the old Jonathan that's not fighting for every rebound? I wanted to see him get north of 7 rebounds. He got 9 rebounds.
Yep, yep.
I accept that. The number that is, I think, this is the last thing on the dial for Jonathan, and it still falls in the realm of decision-making, and I think it's why you're hesitant to say that he played a great game. 24 points, 9 boards, hey, that's great, right? 5 turnovers. 5 turnovers, some of them at very inopportune times, and you get it. The ball's in his hands a whole lot more, and so there's still a process of figuring this all out, but that's the spot. 5 turnovers for him, 4 turnovers for Pods. You heard Steve Kerr say, Pods cannot be a high turnover guy in this league. With the way he plays, he's got to be a low turnover guy. So those two players, I look at some of the good things they did statistically, but they combined for 9 turnovers. That's half the Warriors' turnovers. It's too many.
Right, and especially when you look at the second half, and Kuminga was 2-for-10 in the second half.
Yep.
And we can all talk about that last shot that he took. Should he have taken a 3? Steining, I don't think so. I thought that driving in, the step back was an open 11-footer. If he makes it, you're down 1 with basically 24 seconds left, and now you're in the foul game, but you're down 1. Whatever. He missed it, and it was game over. I didn't hate that shot, but if you look at the whole second half, and I went through all of his shot attempts before I came out here, in the second half, he got a little bit old Kuminga-ish. There were a couple of early 3s, a couple of forced 2s, and it felt like in the second half, he was trying to do a little bit too much. Again, 1 game, small sample, no Steph, no Jimmy, no Draymond. I'm not going to say that, oh, it's fine, but it is kind of fine. It's just 1 game out of 82. As a team, they turned it over too much. They weren't efficient. That's the negative. The positive, Moses Moody has taken steps forward, and Will Richard, my God, Will Richard, he's a real one.
Yeah, more on that in a second. There's one other piece of the Kuminga thing that I do want to bring up, because you and I talked about it last year a lot, and I am not going to let this go unnoticed. What did I always say offensively that I wanted to see Jonathan really, really focus on in order to take his game to the next level as far as scoring the basketball?
You wanted to see him cook, Mark.
No.
You wanted to see the ha-ha.
I did not want a ha-ha, and the only person I want cooking is someone who's going to make me food, and Jonathan makes me no meals.
Unless Jonathan's here at Jack's, and he's doing a great job.
No, yeah, this is not Jonathan's bar and grill. It's Jack's bar and grill.
Good point.
What did I want to see him do?
Make free throws, Mark.
82.5% this year.
My God.
Jonathan got into the lab this offseason and I think really did all the things that you want to see him do. And that's all I think those of us, I still hate calling it sides, but those of us who felt the way they did about Kuminga's game coming into this year, it was not about, hey, show up and do everything perfect. It was, will you show up and please show the organization and the fan base that your head's in the right spot.
and that the effort to go in a team concept is in the right spot. I've seen all of those things. There are still decisions. And by the way, you know, we got into the debate about the shot at the end of the game. My point was, as a fan, I wanted him to fire the three. That's what I would have done. I'm not saying the shot that he ended up with was a terrible shot, but he missed it. He missed it. And I think that in that situation, once you're down late into a game and you're under a minute to go on the clock, what you're looking for, you're hoping for an open three, because the other team's guarding the three-point line like crazy. And he got one, and he didn't take it. That's my only point. But it's not a criticism of anything that Jonathan's doing last night. I'm more looking at turnovers, decision-making, and just every month, are you tightening the screws? Is it getting better and tighter every month? That's all I'm looking for with that guy.
And it's getting better, and it's getting tighter. And even last night where he wasn't great, and the shot that he should have taken, he didn't. Whatever that was, he still wound up as a plus two on the game. The big problem last night was the second unit. When they came in, they didn't do the job. And really in that third quarter when they were up 11 and the game kind of got away from them, I don't think that that was a JK or a first team issue. That's just kind of the way that thing went. And now we look at tomorrow night's game where you're not going to have Steph Curry. And we had the news broken. Steve Kerr joined us earlier and he broke the news. He's not flying to Denver. Therefore, he won't play in Denver. And so, yeah, you're going to have Jimmy and Draymond, presumably. We don't know for sure, but JK with that group. And so now you're looking at a situation where you're going to need other people to step up.
They're not saying boo.
Are they booing my take?
Keep that sound going. Dibs just had a bad take, so keep booing. Boo! No. No, they're not saying boo. They're saying guru.
No. Wow.
Everybody on their way in. We've got the summit starting in 15 minutes. We've got the pick in about 5 minutes. And, yes, we will continue that Jonathan Kuminga conversation once we get all the guys up there. What about some of the other role players, though? You know, you just mentioned Will Richard.
I love Will Richard.
I know you love Will Richard.
That's my guy.
Well, I'm wondering to what level this sort of changes the outlook of the season. Remember, we're assessing this team 9 games in. We're looking at some of these role players, and we're doing so before D'Anthony Melton gets here.
Yep.
Before Seth Curry gets here. How is this all going to shake out? Yes, from the files of a good problem to have, but you are on the bottom of this roster now, creating a little bit of a competitive aspect where guys are going to be going for minutes, and the likes of a GP2, a Seth Curry, hell, on certain nights, a Buddy Hield. Dibs, they might be getting some DNPs sometimes.
No doubt, and you start to, like, go from the bottom and you move up, and, you know, Pat Spencer's been a great story, and at times he's been a good, serviceable, kind of a spark plug guy, but he's going to lose minutes. The other one, TJD, natural, he'll lose minutes, but I think when you start to look at, you know, even a player like Gary Payton II, like, if GP2 can't come in there and be a scoring threat, and last night he took one shot, he made it, it was a three.
Yeah.
But if you've got Will Richard, who's more of a scoring threat and equal as a defender, then it's going to be GP2 who loses those minutes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you bring up Pat Spencer. Let's be real. When Seth Curry and D'Anthony Melton joined this team, is there even room for Pat Spencer? And I know this is positional. He is the third string point guard, if you will, behind Steph Curry and behind Brandon Pajemski. I don't know if there's anybody else on the roster that can really take that. But I do look at this now. You've got a group that already is playing a lot of players. You already had Will Richard get sent, air quotes,
right,
assigned to the G League for one night and did not play against Phoenix the other night. There is a roster crunch coming here, and there are certain players that I almost feel like sort of fan protective of. I don't want to see Will Richard assigned to Santa Cruz anymore. That shouldn't happen. I don't know who else can be third string point guard. This is a long way of saying I don't really know if Pat Spencer in 2 weeks should be on this roster anymore.
He probably won't be, but I do believe that he also signed a two-way, so he can be a guy who goes to Santa Cruz. And honestly, when you send somebody to Santa Cruz, it's mainly because you want them to go there and show you something that they haven't already shown you. If you're Will Richard and you just put up 30 in an NBA game, 30, and you're a rookie and you're 8 or 9 games into your career and you put up 30 at Sacramento, like, what are you going to go do in Santa Cruz against the Rio Grande 84ers or whatever they are? Or I don't even know all the team names, but you've got nothing to show in Santa Cruz. So, I mean, Pat Spencer, yeah. Pat, it's either you don't play here and you sit in the second row, or you go to Santa Cruz and you play basketball. I'm sure he'd rather go there and play.
I mean, this
I
is... We are all prone to the take that happens a little bit too early. I did it last year.
It's premature take-ulation is what it is.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
There's a pill for that.
I do remember Lindy Waters came
careful.
Out.
Yeah. I know, Grandy.
This week it's caution to the wind, as you all know.
Yeah, the horse is out of the barn now.
But anyway, last year there was a game where Lindy Waters was really good, and I was like, look, it's early, but I kind of like Lindy Waters more than D'Anthony Melton in that role.
Ooh.
It was a bad take.
Ooh, frozen take.
But let me give another... thank you, Gandy. Let me give my too early take this year. I don't want Will Richard ever leaving this team. I do not want Will Richard and Santa Cruz to ever happen in the same sentence.
You love Will Richard?
I think Will Richard has a role that is sustainable and needs to stick. And I say that knowing that Melton is coming. I know Melton is coming. But the youth that this guy brings, the decision-making that we're seeing early on, and then last night, the ability in certain spots when given the opportunity to have an offensive game that pops. I know the defensive side needs to get better. It does. But to see all that so early from Will Richard, yeah, I want him on the club. I want him with the big club all the nights.
And I think that he will be. I mean, the more he plays, the more he's earning that role. But I do think it's interesting what you said about a roster crunch, because when Seth Curry becomes a Warrior in about 10 days or 2 weeks or whenever it is.
I think it's even less than that. Wasn't it like the 11th or the 13th or something like that?
But D'Anthony Melton is probably late November, early December. And when he's healthy, he's a guy you're going to play because he's a pro and he's that dude. So you do start to squeeze down a little bit in terms of minutes and roster size. Although, keep this in mind, you're still an older team, and there are going to be nights like last night where you got three guys who just can't play.
We have arrived at a very special moment on this show.
Is it time for the summit?
It is not quite time for the summit. But ladies and gentlemen of the audience, we have never gotten to do this before, so I want to coach all of you through how to do it. We're about to fade the Dibbers. So Thursday night football starts in a little bit. This man to my left is going to make a pick.
Woo!
If you disagree with the pick, you need to immediately start clapping your hands and yelling, fade, 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 fade. So let's practice. Let's practice. Fade, 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 fade. Okay.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
You're welcome.
I'm hot.
You're welcome to agree with the pick as well. He has one more than he's lost this year.
Damn, Skippy.
But not lately.
Oh, boy.
So, for the first time ever in front of a live audience.
I'm nervous.
It is time to fade the Dippers. Well, here we go into an interesting one, an AFC West showdown. Two Super Bowl winning coaches getting together again on a Thursday night. There are still, in our area where we sit right now, any Raider fans in the building? Yeah, thought so. Took a shot. Thought some of you stragglers might be hanging out here today. That's right. No, not yet. Not yet. The Raiders are a big, big dog tonight, and they're at Mile High, right where the Warriors are heading as we speak. So, the number is Broncos -8.5 against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Dibs?
Well, as you know, Mark, division games are hard. Trades are hard. Division games are hard, especially on Thursday night. These games tend to be one-score games or less. And if you look at the schedule, Denver is one of only 10 teams yet to have a bye. However, when you go to the Mile High City, you've got a situation where a good team, Denver, has an advantage over a bad team. My instincts tell me one thing, but then I look to my right and I see young Joseph Spadoni, who is a diehard Raider fan, and my heart is with Spadoni. But my pick, it's with Denver. You take Denver and you lay the 8.5. Cuckoo!
Hey, 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 hey,
hey! You take the Broncos and you lay the 8.5. Cuckoo!
It's too many points.
Cuckoo!
It's too many points.
Cuckoo!
Broncos win by Ka-ga! 6. Broncos win by 6.
Kaboo!
It's too many points.
Kaboo!
It's too many points.
Denver 28. Ka-boo! Raiders minus 3. Cuckoo!
What?
Who'd you pick on Monday night?
Cuckoo!
Pick the Cowboys on Monday night. I'm just saying. All right.
That was a bad beat. Bet.
We are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, and the summit is next, ladies and gentlemen. The morning show, Spadoni and Chasky, the midday show, Steiny and Guru, will join us up here in front of all you fine people coming up next, and we're going to get to all of the Warrior topics, plus some very special surprises that have to do with Steve Kerr. So that is all coming up. We are so glad you're here. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill is the spot. The Warrior Summit is next on 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.